In Jesus' name, amen. From the Jordan River to the scorching wilderness, the Holy Spirit leads our Lord. From baptismal waters into temptation, the very same Holy Spirit leads us the opposite way, from temptation and from the wilderness back to baptismal waters, always back to baptismal waters, so that we might be cleansed from our sin and be kept safe. Lead us not into temptation, we pray, because we have no business being tempted in that wilderness. Deliver us from the evil one, we pray, because we stand no chance against so great a foe. Jesus must walk into that wilderness all by himself and face that devil for us all alone. Jesus must go alone, but that does not mean that you get to stay in your pew and look on as your big brother trounces your cosmic bully, trounces the tempter. Christ Jesus has made himself one with you. He is flesh of your flesh, born of the Virgin's womb. And you are spirit of his spirit, born of the baptismal font, the church's womb. So you are in Christ, and Christ is in you. And this union cannot be broken. So with you and Christ in you, he walks into that wilderness, and you go too. And when he faces that bullying tempter, so do you. But not on your own. You are safe, hidden in him. So do rejoice, and do triumph. Because the victory that Jesus wins all by himself also belongs to you. When our Lord Jesus rose up out of those baptismal waters, he united you into himself forever. One baptism, he seals your fate. Your fate is his fate. He is the new Adam, and in him you are a new creation. In Adam all die, Scripture says. Even so, in Christ all shall be made alive. This is God's word. You shall be made alive. Our Lord had God's word as well. When he rose up out of those baptismal waters, the Holy Spirit descended upon him, and a voice from heaven said, "You are my beloved Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Jesus has this word of God. But then, there comes a long 40 nights, 40 days in the wilderness. 40 days hearing another word, the preaching of temptations preached by the devil. 40 days of painful loneliness. 40 days of painful hunger. And all this suffering, all this pain and isolation. The question might be asked, where is this God who promises to love his Son? Just the sort of question that the serpent likes to ask. Yes, Satan attends church as well. And he hears the Father's sermon to Jesus. "You are my beloved Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." And Satan is hell-bent on turning Jesus away from this word. Sure, God once said he loved you. But now, he has left you all alone. Sure, God once said he was well pleased with you. But if he is so well pleased with you right now, then why is it you suffer? God once said you were his beloved son, But what sort of father would allow you to starve? If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. Do you see what the tempter is really up to? He is trying to use Jesus' suffering, his loneliness, his hunger, to turn him away from the loving word of God the Father. Trust not in your Father or his word. Trust in yourself and turn this stone to bread. But no sooner had the serpent wrapped his coils around the belly of our Lord, when the serpent found himself recoiling from another word of God that sang through the air like a blade of the Holy Spirit, Jesus answered him, "Man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." He bests Satan, not with human reason, not with cunning, not with human power, but with the word alone. And that word that had proceeded from the mouth of God said, "You are my beloved Son, whom I love. In you I am well pleased." It is this word, and this word alone, that kept Jesus' hope and faith alive. The tempter tries to use suffering to make Jesus lose his faith in the Father's good word. And the tempter has wrapped these very same coils around you, hasn't he? Coils of doubt, by which he means to squeeze out your hope and your faith in the Father's loving word. If you are God's beloved child, then why does God seem so far away? And if God says he loves you, then why do the gospel promises seem to offer you so little help for your real concerns? And if he is well pleased with you, then why has he allowed you to be lonely, widowed, divorced, wandering in a bad job, always hungry? As it went for Jesus, so it goes for you. The serpent tries to use suffering to make you lose your faith in the Father's loving word. Do not trust your feelings. Trust your Father. Do not trust your aching belly. Trust your Father's word. You are baptized. And in your baptism, the Father has said to you, "You are my beloved child, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." That is the Father's word to you. Let no Satan and no tempter strip that word away from you. These words are better than all the bread in the world, for bread will only give you earthly life, but these words are the words of eternal life. Feast on these words from your Father, the God of all mercies, and you shall taste and see that he is good. In baptism, you are in Christ and Christ is in you. So his victory over the serpent's temptation belongs to you. If it is the cross for you now, then know this: soon enough, it will also be the resurrection. Failing in his first attempt to defeat Jesus, to discourage our Lord and drive him down into despair, Satan changes his tune. He tries next to flatter Jesus, to lift him all the way up to the height of vanity and pride, showing him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. The devil said to him, "To you I will give all this authority and glory. If you worship me, it's yours." Power. Good old-fashioned power. The sort of power the world knows all about. Power backed by the sword and the threat of violence. the sort of power we would use to crush our enemies, enemies in the world, enemies in the family, even enemies in the pews. Jesus could have simply bowed to Satan, worshipped him, and crushed us for our sins. For in sin we have indeed made ourselves his enemies. But when the one true God does give all authority in heaven and on earth to Jesus, his beloved Son, Jesus uses that authority to make disciples of all nations, to announce to everyone the grace of God, that they might be baptized and taught, so that they might have hope in this bleak world and an eternal life to come. This is Christ's power, a power this world knows so precious little about. Power has nothing to do with crushing our enemies and everything to do with loving them. A power that means to make your enemies in the world, in the family, in the pews, into eternal friends. For while you were still an enemy of God, Scripture says, God sent his Son to die for you. So with two failed attempts at defeating our Lord and one left to go, Satan tries to get Jesus to test God by throwing himself down from the pinnacle of the temple. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. Surely he will send his angels to rescue you. But Jesus will have nothing to do with putting God to the test. When the moment comes, Jesus will do far more than merely throw himself down from the temple heights. Our Lord will lay his very life into his Father's loving arms in death, and commend his spirit into his Father's loving hands. He dies bearing our sin, and having received this sacrifice, the Father gives him and gives you eternal life. You are God's enemies no more. It is finished. You have been reconciled. You shall not put the Lord your God to the test. That's what Jesus says. You shall not twist God's promises to fit your own designs. You shall not demand that God kowtow to your desires and bow to worship you. But you can be absolutely sure that God will be your God and that God will be your Savior, that he has your life forever in his gracious hands, that he gives his angels to watch over you. And even if you die in Adam, even so in Christ you shall be made alive. So you see, you don't get to lie in the grave any more than you get to sit in the pew. You are in Christ, and Christ is in you. When he trounces the tempter, his victory belongs to you. And when his body is raised from the dead, this also belongs to you. As sure as God's own word, in Christ you shall be made alive, in body and in soul. As it goes for Jesus, so it goes for you. Victory over Satan and victory over death. And take they our life, goods, fame, child, and wife. Though these be gone, our victory has been won. The kingdom ours remaineth. So do not doubt. Only believe. If the Lord Jesus loves you enough to walk into that wilderness for you and defeat Satan for you, if the Lord Jesus loves you enough to go to the cross for you and defeat death for you, then the Lord is faithful and just to forgive you all your sins and cleanse you from all iniquities. So do rejoice and do triumph. for He has done it. It is not just the strong believers or the fanatical believers or the really committed believers who will be saved, but all believers. Every single one who believes in Him will not be put to shame. And every single one who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is the word of the Lord. Amen.